Chaitanya Saraswat Seva Ashram here in Soquel under the divine direction of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, Deity Sri Sri Guru Guranga Gandharvika Giridhari. So after some time has passed, we're very fortunate to have with us tonight Shripad Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj.
Yeah.
And he will now speak and enlighten everyone with Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Govinda Maharaj's divine conception.
Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Dayam Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Shridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagawan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Rupa Anuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gopa Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shama Kundu Radha Kundu Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Navadiptam Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishwa Varenya. Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shripad Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj Ki Jai. Shripad Bhakti Chandan Parbat Maharaj Ki Jai. Sanyasi Vrinda Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nithai Go Premanande.
Hi, Shripad Bhakti Sudhir Govind Maharaj Ki Jai. Go Premanande.
We're happy to see everyone here and bring the blessings and greetings of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, who always very affectionately, with his sweet heart, recalls this ashram and these beautiful deities. And Gupta Govardhan, Vrindavana Hoyate Shrestha Govardhana Shaila, Gandharvika Giridhari Jata Krida Koila. It's from the divine mind of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This sloka has appeared. You know, these slokas are spiritually conscious gems, like Chintamani. They're only passive in their objective representation in this plane, that they're written on a wall or written in a book or on the digital imprint on a computer screen, but actually they're spiritually conscious substance. Abhinatan namanamano. Spiritually speaking, when something is accurately, purely indicated, it's non different than that which is being indicated. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashanti panti chinandiganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya. Spiritual senses are interchangeable mysteriously. Ears can see, the eyes can hear. Everything. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, he indicated what is Govardhan in the Krishna conception of divinity. In this sloka, Govardhana Shaila Shrestha, Vrindavana Hoite Shrestha, Govardhana Shaila Gandharvika Girihari Jata Krida Koila. He's implying that there are gradations of theistic concepts. There are gradation of God concepts. Guru Maharaj would say there's gradation everywhere. Even so much so, he once heard Saraswati Thakur give a talk where he said he detected gradation between the shore of Radha Kunda and the waters of Radha Kunda. There's gradation everywhere and in everything. People, they often ask, what is the, to compare a comparative religion sort of thing, between Krishna consciousness and other God concepts or theistic systems. And I like to use this currency example because it's more accessible to modern people, that again, there's dollar, euro, rupee, ruble, yen, Swiss franc, and all kinds of other things, right? So we accept in the monetary world, there's a pluralism of legitimate currencies, and they all have value, right? But they're not all one to one, right? Sometimes it's 45 of these to make one of those, right? Because of some gradation. The relative value measured against an absolute standard. So we're going to know they have some standard. I was telling this to a group of journalists once in Moscow, like New Age journalists, and how there's an absolute standard against which you can judge the relative value of any currency. So when it comes to theistic systems, why do we think it's all the same? Right? That, you know, the old yatamat tatapat, you know, whether it's Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, this, you know, it's all about God and everyone's trying, you know. Like if you go to the Vedanta temple in San Francisco and you see on the altar, you know, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Krishna, Ramakrishna, Jesus, Buddha, Barney, you know, like, you know. It's all the same, right? Brahma, all accommodating Brahma. Why not find that there should be some absolute theistic standard that you can measure any God's concept or theistic system against and determine its relative value? And you'll find that 50 of these equal one of those. Or 1,000 of these equals one of those. Sri Rama Rama Rameti Mano Sahasranama Tatulyam Rama Nama. I'm not making this up. Right? There's scriptural evidence for what I'm saying. It may sound whimsical or light, but it's a fact. So anyway, I was telling them that, you know, this example, there must be an absolute standard where you can measure God concepts and theistic systems and assess their value. And one woman who was getting it, she goes, "But then we must know what is dollar." And I said, "Exactly, ma'am, thank you." You want to know what is the dollar of theistic concepts. You know. All right, this is sort of pre-Euro. If somebody's, you know, there's some guy, no, actually right now, you know, just calm down. You know, it was like a couple years ago. So, anyway, so there's gradation. So then that's the big question. Okay. What is the standard by which you're going to measure everything against to determine what its value is? Right? If we accept, it's for most folks, it's big enough, you know, saffron, enough of them to acknowledge that there's a plurality of theistic systems, right? That's mighty wide of you. Right, to say, yeah, you know, there's room for your belief too. We live in a multicultural, pluralistic democracy. There's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. But what makes them, they're comfortable with that. But what makes them uncomfortable is if we talk about any sort of gradation, right, that this might be better than, then they like get very nervous. Right. But if they're talking about wine, they don't have a problem with this. This one's better than that. That's why this one cost 80 and this one's 12 or anything, right? Or this type of broadband is better than that. Whatever it is, there's gradation everywhere. But all of a sudden when we get over in this, you know, it's like, shh, you know. Right? They say if you're going to a family reunion, two things not to talk about, politics and religion. Like if you want to have a happy Thanksgiving weekend, don't talk about politics or religion with your relatives. That's probably true, you know, I mean, relatively speaking. So, I mean, they don't talk about politics and religion and Goloka. It's the last thing on people's minds, there, right? You ever hear a political discussion going on in Goloka Vrindavan or you know, about talking about religion? Not that often, right? Unless they perceive it as being useful in achieving some other end. Yeah. So, what is that standard? The standard is rasa. Right? In a word, rasa. Right? A word that's impossible to translate into the English language. But nonetheless, that's it. Right? You know, what does Google mean? I know Parvat Maharaj knows, but for the rest of you. Really, you know, IBM, right? International Business Machine, 3M, the Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company. Now you know why they call it 3M, right? So we can. It doesn't matter what they were. They come to represent something. So it doesn't matter whether people literally know what rasa means or not. But nonetheless, rasa is the absolute standard by which all these things will be measured, right? And translating it in a rough way out would be loving intimacy. And that, you know, that's a really poor, but for the sake of this analogy, it will work. Loving intimacy, degrees and levels of loving intimacy, right? So, to the degree that the theistic system or God's concept allows for the full spectral range of loving intimacy, and to the nth degree, that system will be determined as being superior or inferior. That's the standard. That's the way it works. So then someone has to become acquainted with whether it is the science of rasa or loving intimacy. It's spiritual common sense. Srila Guru Maharaj said, I take my stand on spiritual common sense. I tell people in Russia, because it's convenient there, about Putin. Vladimir Putin. Everyone knows he's from Petersburg. That's the city of his childhood. So he favors that. He's building up, doing so many things. Right? And now, the average Russian citizen has no intimate relation with him. They're not familiar. So if he were to walk into the room, the appropriate response is, you know, hail to the chief or whatever the equivalent is there. They show some awe and respect. It's an appropriate sentiment to the lack of loving intimacy. It's a legitimate sentiment to express. Everything has to be honest or legitimate. So there's a time when that is the most legitimate sort of sentiment to express. Yes. Right? But that said, long before he gets here, we'll see an entourage show up of people who surround him, work for him, protect him, have some increased level of intimacy and interaction with him. He may even know them, you know, like, hey, Yuri, how's the wife and kids, kind of thing, right? Because he knows something about them, right? That group has still on reverential position, but some increased intimacy there. They're almost approaching friendship. Maybe an old-time agent might be a friend. Then, this looks like it had a candle in it once, or it looks like an experiment. You know. Yeah, okay, all right. It's just bothering me, but now it's okay. I understand. No, at least it doesn't have a cross on it. You know. Right, right. Or a Mogen David. Although some Mogen David, no, I'm not Jesus, nor was I meant to be. So, good morning, Ramai. He always gets a joke that everyone else gets later. So, but anyway, so sometimes the old servant approaches friendship. But they're privileged, from their perspective, to have a little different angle of vision. That's why there has to be room from different angles of vision. Right? Vrindavan Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. They're seeing things a little differently. Right? According to their own position, loving intimacy, and perspective. View, you know, what is it called? Vantage point, vista, whatever you want to say. So that group, they see that Putin, who's the example here, has some people interacting with him or childhood friends from Petersburg. And they remember him as, you know, Vladi or something else, and how they used to do so many things when they were kids. And they know a lot of things about him, right? And sometimes they, on account of the increased intimacy of their relationship, the awe and reverential thing is really becoming suppressed and receding to the background. They might tender a loving insult in his direction. And what, from a person in a lesser position who's ruled by awe and reverential feelings, to express such a thing would be offensive. But here, what is offensive for one is now providing pleasure or happiness to him. That they're ignoring, in fact, that's part of the joke, is in consideration of his presidential identity, this joke now is really funny. Right? If we have a little bit of that element of his presidential identity and then tender this joke, it's extra funny. He's laughing, they're laughing, it's producing enjoyment. Right? So when Krishna says in Charitamritam, you know, from the voice of Kaviraj Goswami, extrapolating Raghunath Das Srup Damodar, that Krishna says that, you know, when if someone's the nectarine substance that's sealed within the heart, if it's obstructed by awe and reverential devotion, I'm disappointed. They're doing okay because they're worshiping me, but it's like, what's in it for me? There's nothing in it for me. It's good for them, doesn't do much for me. Right? All this, you're this, you're, they, you know, you can't even express it properly anyway, what he is. Because Sheshananta, with thousands of heads, has been trying to express that since the beginning of time. This is his first expansion of himself outward. He can't do him justice. So what are you going to do? So, but, saying, if, on account, if one can be unafraid of their swoop to the extent to allow that flow to come, which, and when will that come? By dint of the superior association of genuine, you know, people who have heart, spiritual heart for Krishna, then that captures Krishna's attention. That all of a sudden, that a tiny finite soul turns to him and deals with him as an equal. That catches his interest. What to speak of those who challenge him, thinking, you know, 2 out of 3, I could take you. Or 3 out of 5. You know. Especially if I'm empowered by Baladev. You know. So that starts grabbing. Then to take it to the extreme, Krishna says that although, you know, there's 108 Upanishads personified offering prayers to Krishna and the Vedas, Veda Stuti, etc. And he said, but if my beloved, meaning Srimati Radharani, if she comes and he's really saying, is speaking offensively to him, and the anger of love is calling him offensive names, abusing him, he said, that sounds so sweet to him that it draws his mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. This is Krishna. This is the Krishna conception of divinity. Right? You don't get this in the Bible, folks. Right? You know, I am the Lord thy God, you know, and that whole kind of thing. Right? You never take the Lord's name in vain. All right, here we've got someone saying, when my beloved takes my name in vain, it steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. That's how you would translate that along to get the idea. She's cursing God, the Supreme, and he's melting on the spot, and his heart's becoming melted by this time type of taking the Lord's name in vain. Right? So, this is the standard to judge what is superior and inferior. As I mentioned in another place, once a Christian theologian that Subhananda and I, well, he really tracked him down. We found him at one place, and he came with this concept, John Hick. He said, Christianity is on the verge of a Copernican revolution. And he's a Christian. He's not against Christianity. But he like had an epiphany. He realized up to this point, we thought this is the central conception. And there's so many spin-offs from this, either legitimate or illegitimate, apocryphal or otherwise. And, you know, but this is it. And he said, but we're going to soon realize there's an absolute truth. And this is one theistic concept, planets of faith orbiting that central truth. And that allows for, well, then, which we know planets. Some are nearer. The ones that are nearer are more similar in constitution to what they're nearer. And then there's some, you know, like, which religious conception would be Pluto? Hurry. No. Right. I'm not going to say. But, and then some would be like Mercury. And then some would be something, you know, you get the general idea. But he was willing to allow for that. So there's a plurality. Some are nearer, some are further away. That means there's a gradation. What is going to be that standard to determine what's superior and inferior? Rasa, loving intimacy. Only the Krishna conception of divinity. Not even the Narayan conception. Only the Krishna conception. Not even Krishna of Dwarka. Only the Krishna conception of divinity allows the full spectral range of the expression of loving intimacy towards the supreme entity. And to further enhance that, you know, demonstrate that, Saraswati Thakur wrote this, Vrindavana hoite shrestha govardhana shoyla, Gandharvika giri dhari jata krida koila. Superior to Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are his pastimes in Govardhan. Why? They're increasingly playful there. In the caves of Govardhan, etc. Hantaya madralabala haridasa bardhya, yad brahma krishna charana sparsha pramoda. Manam tanoti sahago ganayastayorya pani asuya vasakanda rakanda mulai. It's really encrypted there, but it's a reference to the caves, the sweet waters, the environment. As you know, we're always saying form over substance. And once someone's going to making publications and they're trying to out, you know, do Guru Maharaj with Guru Maharaj and saying like, well, it doesn't really matter how the book is printed because it's the substance inside, so the form is irrelevant. And Guru Maharaj said, what? He said, in Vrindavan, form and substance are one. That's Abhinatan Namanamano. I mean, there's a plane where it's the highest quality substance and the form is identical to that. Right? So, these planes, Vrindavan and Govardhan, interestingly, is why there's worshipping the Govardhan Shila with the Gunjamala, without. What's the difference? Without, if you put the Gunjamala means Radharani and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Without, we have Krishna as Bhakta, like Mahaprabhu. That's why. So he's Govardhan. He's like Mahaprabhu. He's Krishna in the mood of a devotee. That's why it's inappropriate to put the Gunjamala. Right? He's as Bhakta. Hantayam adra labala. Haridas Barja. Haridas, the best of, not only a devotee, but who's the best of the devotees? Again, so it's a double dose of Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception. So, Srila Guru Maharaj says, when he's with Srila Prabhupada, we know in their famous meeting in Mayapur, as depicted there, Janardhan Maharaj was there, and Srila Govinda Maharaj spoke, Kam Pratikataya Tamise, that they're recalling their early meetings and interactions with one another. And Prabhupada talks about Saraswati Thakur's Brajamandal Parikrama, and at the time they were at Koshi, and nearby is Sheshai Vishnu, and it's ostensibly Vishnu, but really it's related to the Brajagopis and separation. That's a whole other subject that I'm not familiar with, but I know that much. And So it is announced. Someone comes and announces to all the pilgrims on the parikrama that the sannyasis are going to lead a party to Sheshai. And they said, but Prabhupada will take the class this evening. I mean, Saraswati Thakur will be speaking this evening. And Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj are talking, and Prabhupada said, I thought, if I go to see the Sheshai, what will I see there? And Guru Maharaj went, I exercise. And they both went, ah, they started chuckling. Because that's a famous line of Saraswati Thakur. Because it's told in the scriptures. When you look at the deity, you'll start with the lotus feet and then go up and to the left. And so if you realize, it means your eyeball will go like this, and then it'll go like that, and it'll go this way. So Saraswati Thakur is saying, I exercise. You're not saying anything substantial. You know, you're projecting, you're seeing, you know, standing before the deity who has the capacity to see you. You're seeing whatever, and your eyes are moving to the left and right, and, you know, like, oh, you had darshan, sure, okay, eye exercise. Anyway, they both chuckle, and then Prabhupada said, I thought, let me stay in here. And it's very, as always, Krishna consciousness is very simple. Krishna is the Teka Kela Sarvatam Narlila Tara Swarup. It's human-like, deceptively simple. Everything's human-sized in Krishna Leela. Right? But it's the central conception of the infinite meets in the human-like proportions of the Krishna conception of divinity. It's very mysterious. Muhyanti atsurayaha. People better than us can't figure this out. Okay. So anyway, and Prabhupada said, so my Guru Maharaj would speak. Some things he spoke I understood, other things I could not understand. He said, but I continued listening. Just because he didn't understand everything, this doesn't work that way, where it requires total comprehension. You'll never achieve that. There is no such thing. It's infinite, dynamic, and growing. There is no point of total comprehension, right? Dealing with the infinite. So it's just as much as he reveals, that much you'll know at any given point in time. And he can also make you forget that. It's not like once you know it, then you always know it. This doesn't work that way. Ask Keshava Kashmiri why he became tongue-tied, you know, because it was withdrawn. Anything that's good can be given or withdrawn. Stuff that, you know, you have a right to or whatever, that's, you know, democracy. It has nothing to do with reality. Reality is autocrat, you know, is descending autocratic theocracy. Not ascending pluralistic democracy. That's for asses. Democracy is a mass ass movement. Now I'm becoming Truman Capote. It's a mass ass movement. No, really, that's what democracy... I'm not the first person to say that. And nor am I the last. But really, that's what... I say that with all due... whatever it is I'm doing. Yeah. But reality is autocratic descending theocracy, the transcendental autocrat. He's not the transcendental Democrat or the transcendental... Yeah. Jesus, the transcendental Republican. There is no such thing, except maybe Giri Maharaj. Janardha Maharaj is collecting all the MP3s in the film right now. I'll take that. No. Anyway. What was I saying? So then Prabhupada said like that. Some things he said I understood, some things. There are things that Saraswati Thakur said himself he did not understand fully. And that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Where he went, Guru Maharaj accompanied once to a program, like sometimes people do programs, they go to the house, take some prasadam, have a little harikata, whatever, did that, and Saraswati Thakur started explaining this satyam sloka from the prayers of demigods in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter or so. It's very beautiful, I don't know it, but it has the word satyam like around 10 times in it. When Guru Maharaj started hearing Saraswati Thakur speaking, he thought, oh, this is so wonderful. I should go get a pen, because they usually have three men. He used to write and then compare notes at the end to make sure they got it all right. And then he thought, but if I leave, I might miss something. He's in a quandary, dilemma. And he didn't leave. He stayed. And then later, Saraswati Thakur said to him, so, maybe his name was Ramananda at the time. Did you get that? Yeah. He says, it was so wonderful. I couldn't leave. You know, I had this quiet, and Saraswati Thakur, you know, chided him lovingly and said, then you're a Gobur Ganesh. Means a Ganesh made out of cow dung. Like, in other words, you're useless. Like Ganesh wrote the Vedas, you're a Gobur Ganesh. And Saraswati Thakur said, you wanted to hear it again. He goes, I want to hear it again. He was amazed by what passed through him. Ahang ved mi, sukaveti, vyasaveti, naveti va. He was astonished what was passing through him. He wanted to hear it again. So Guru Maharaj said two things he felt. One is, of course, some disappointment that he didn't record this. He said, but the good side was that he said, oh, I felt some happiness inside, knowing that when the real deep, high flow was there on my guru, I knew it. I could recognize that. So he said, he was a little more happy than sad about this event. Because he knows nothing's lost in this. It's not lost. It just appears sometimes from the inspiration of Vaishnavas and sometimes is out of reach momentarily. But Guru Maharaj's capacity is so extraordinary. So Prabhupada says, some things he said I understood. They both stayed that night and listened to Saraswati Thakur speak. And he says, some things I understood, some things I did not understand, I went listening. And Guru Maharaj, you know, he just humbly said, yeah, I also was stayed and remember. Then at the moment, he's such a gentleman, too. Prabhupada used to say, a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman. Whatever Guru Maharaj was recalling, he didn't voice that. He just said, oh, yeah, I also stayed and remember. Then, you know, the rest is history there. But at another time, Srila Guru Maharaj said, not only does he remember being there that evening, but he remembers what Saraswati Thakur said, what the lecture was about. And he said, that evening, our Guru Maharaj gave a revolutionary concept of the meaning of Govardhan that we'd never heard before. And it was along the lines, it reminds me of in the Padyavali of Srila Rupa Goswami, which in addition to his own personal slokas, he has collected slokas from other sources. And this one, Akristi Kritacetasam Sumanasam Uchchatanam Changhasam Atsandala Mukas Luokasulabo Vasya Chamuktisya No Diksham Natcha Satkriyam Na Purushcharjam Managikshite Mantro Yam Rasanas Brigave Apalati Sri Krishna Namatmaka. Where he's talking about this very beautiful, the holy name of Krishna, how attractive it is, and swallowing, I mean, in a nice way, the consciousness is irresistible, consciousness irresistibly being drawn toward it. And he said, and everyone, you know, this gives them their full wealth beyond liberation. Who but those who are dumb, I mean, you know, who could not speak it, would fail to appreciate this. But even that's covered in Mukham, Karati, Vachalam, etc., you know, footnote. But, and then it says, and what is the criterion for receiving this divine name of Krishna, which is no less than Krishna himself, in some instances more than Krishna himself? Purnakshato Nityam Mukto Abhinatam Namanamano. What is the requirement? This, no diksham, no diksha, not necessary. Satkriya, the six different types of proper activity, not required. No diksham, that's a satkriyam. Na purushcharjam, means prerequisites. Manag ikshate, means not even remotely dependent upon any of these things. Not even remotely dependent upon them. They're like vitamin supplements. If things are working right, not necessary. Manogi is saying, mantro yam rasana sprigeva palati, means regardless of the pH content of the soil, of that soul's consciousness, the Krishna conception springs out in full according to its own will and purpose. It doesn't require you to be a particular way. That's, you know, 101 stuff. When Krishna wants to reveal himself, It doesn't matter. That's all that's necessary is his divine will. He'll do the rest. No diksham natchasat push managjitate. Mantro yam rasanat sprigeva palati Shri Krishna namatmaka. So Sarasvati Thakur said, and what is the comparison? He said, and he's talking about Govardhan. This movement is a Govardhan movement. Really, that's where it springs out of, is the soil of Govardhan. What is that soil? What is its nature? How forgiving is that soil? How, life enervating, giving, invigorating is it? He says, just like the cow men, and we've seen this in, like at the Mott, they have this one potent bull they got from Mayapur. And they got cows from all over the place. They have cows from the tank in front of the Calcutta temple that were walking the street. They have like these pretty French Swiss cows from Switzerland, And then they have cows like from all over the place. And then you've got this bull there. You'd know it if you've seen the bull. Because if you go near the cows, he really starts to generate a lot of heat. And like, he has to check you out to make sure you're okay. That bull, he impregnates the cows. And he said, there's no conception in making more cow. When you're cow making, you're in the business of cow making. There's no conception of Brahmin cow, Kshatriya cow, Vaishya cow, Shudra cow. They have the potent source, Sri Krishna Namatmaka, through the agency of Vaishnava, Bhakti Lata Bij, and the will of Krishna in the background, and regardless of the pH content of the soil, Krishna conception is impregnated there and springs out of that soil for his own purpose. That's what Rupa Goswami is saying. That's why he liked that sloka so much and put it in his sloka collection. Padyavali is his sloka collection. So Sarasvati Thakur took everyone in this direction by saying in those final days, take me to Govardhan, as Srila Prabhupada also said. And that famous, that we know now there's that panda, Giridhari panda in Govardhan helped get Gurudev's property there. He's the son of Balaram panda, who Saraswati Thakur appeared to in a vision around the time of his disappearance. He's the one, he had been hired to get land for Saraswati Thakur in Govardhan. And then he appeared to him in a vision and said, Balaram, I've come. But he looked very different at that time. And so Balaram Panda wrote a letter to the devotees at the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math. It was on December 31st, 1936. And he said, how is Prabhupada? I had this very peculiar vision. And they wrote back saying, he just left the world. So as Guru Maharaj writes in his Nitesmin separation prayers, that it's very beautiful. And he says, Srimati Radharani was feeling anxious for him to return. That's why he was taken prematurely from one point of view, but she couldn't tolerate his separation anymore. And she's becoming increasingly filled with anxiety at the separation of, Doita, what is his name? Bimalamani Manjari. So she personally took him up out of her service necessity. And he indicated that Govardhan is the focal point for everyone in his line, which Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, perfectly mirrored in his departing sentiments, and much to the chagrin of the devotee, when Prabhupada in his condition living on a concept at that point, on his Krishna concept, asked them to take him in a bullock cart to Govardhan, they fell down crying, knowing that it would kill him. But it reminds me, when I gave Golden Volcano to Guru Maharaj, and the Gangbira had become available, and he wanted to find out if we could get it, and he said, if you do get that, And we know at this point Guru Maharaj is not leaving his veranda except on his own Vyas Puja, Saraswati Thakur's appearance, and Gaur Purnima, and maybe Janmashtami. He said, if you get that place, then I'll come there personally. And we're like, looked. Because we knew what that meant in terms of the consequences upon his divine form. And he said, and if I die on the way, at least I will have died going in the right direction. That's a Vaishnava. And that's Srila Prabhupada, Srila Saraswati Thakur. It's all about the search for Sri Krishna, the aspiration to serve that plane. So this temple here, as recognized and established by Srila Gurudev, is a legitimate, substantial extension of that aspiration. And it's sprung out of this soil here, and it parallels Govardhan in more ways than one. And so anyone who's in connection with this is extremely fortunate. Their association is desirable. And if we can get some service, if we can serve this extension of Govardhan here, then we'll be, you know, benefited beyond our wildest expectations. So, what time is it?
We're going to wait.
Okay. Is this around the time we finish?
No.
Okay. Okay. Any question? Yeah.
This family, the devotees, are very popular, very appreciated in Santa Cruz.
Oh, good.
I
know. Janardhan Maharaj and I went to a health food store once, and the lady said, we were just in India, and she said, well, welcome home. Oh, that was nice. I think the people now, they're proud to have this ashram as part of the diversity of this county and this community. I mean that. And we were just discussing earlier this article that was in Newsweek and on the internet and all over the place called, like, Hare Krishna at 40. It's really, yeah, something like that, since 1965, 66, and now 2006. And they're saying, there might be a Hare Krishna working in the cubicle next to you. A lot of devotees working in software companies were, like, shocked to think about that. It's a fact. And I told my Yogi Maharaj when we started the San Jose Temple in 1982, I said, it's going to take us around 20 years to overcome all the negative perception that we helped generate. And so it's now 24 years later, and I think that's been realized. And it's not just me. I'm not giving a Pollyannish spin on things. This is in, you know, legitimate mainstream American magazines, and it's been echoed all over the place. So the people, they are expressing some appreciation, and that's good. But that goes so far, you know. But that's the beginning of the culture of faith, is some expression of appreciation towards the devotees of Krishna, conception of Krishna. But as Gurudev likes to quote one of Guru Maharaj's godbrothers saying, you know, and what are we talking about? 1% Krishna consciousness, 5%, 10%, 20%, 50%, 100%. Obviously, you express some appreciation toward a Mahabhagavata, that's one level of coming back, something coming from that, as opposed to expressing some general appreciation for the movement. But all of it's good. It's all good. But again, this talk was about gradation being everywhere. So there's gradations of Krishna consciousness, there's gradations within Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, there's gradations of appreciation towards Krishna consciousness or the specific brand of Krishna consciousness that's being disseminated by Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. There are many, many things to consider. Yeah, you have a question?
I was thinking about the nature of service and seva in connection with a conversation I had with someone a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
Can service be considered, quote-unquote, immutable?
What does that mean?
Well, it's centered on a conversation where someone...
No, I mean, when you're in, that's your punchline, is the word immutable. What do you mean by that word? No. No. Sesananta changes into a bed. From a person to a bed to a thread. You have to be flexible. And from a good guy to a murderer. Right? One minute some of the cowherd boy in the spirit world, next minute they're, you know, a demon or a demon in Krishna Leela. Whatever they're called upon to do, you know, to betray Jesus, that might be part of seva. Yeah, but see, I'm taking questions, not statements. there's a difference. If you have a question, if you can formulate a question, I'll take that. But I'm not going to now, as Ronald Reagan said, you know, I'm paying for this microphone. So... when you have an ashram and you invite everybody over there, then you can pontificate, right? This is my time to pontificate. I'm the pontiff. You might have seen me on the Vatican money. No, but really, yes.
Question for you.
Go, okay.
We know from the Govardhan Leela, the sweet Leela, when Krishna influenced all of the cowherds then to...
All right, ignore. Yeah.
And then Govardhan came and ate all of the offerings.
Yeah.
And then even now in Vrindavan, the Vrishbhasis, they look at Govardhan as being God.
Yes.
And Krishna is their...
Yeah.
Their,
that's right.
God like this. What is it particularly about Govardhan that makes that high aspiration for the high devotee?
Yeah, well, what we were saying before is, remember, this is very mysterious because what they saw, as you're saying, when Govardhan is accepting the offerings, one minute he's Krishna, but then there's Krishna, and then he's Govardhan Hill. Then we're told in that part of the Bhagavatam, Govardhan Hill can even assume the form of a serpent and harm someone, if that be the necessity. There are like many, if you read the Bhagavatam very carefully, it says Govardhan Hill can take any shape or form at once out of its particular necessity. But the verse that where our attention is drawn towards in the Bhagavatam, when the gopis start praising Govardhan Hill, is the one where they say, Hantayam Adrir, Adrir means mountain, Adrir, Hari Abala, Hantayam Adrir Abala, Haridasa Varja. The gopis are not seeing Govardhan as Krishna, their lover. They're seeing Govardhan as Haridasa Varja, Krishna as a devotee of Krishna. He wants to serve too. This is very peculiar. And Guru Maharaj said, this concept of Govardhan, they're all legitimate, whether we see Govardhan as God or Govardhan Hill, or as Krishna, or Haridas Varja, the best of Haridas, as the gopis see him. He said, it's very similar to Mahaprabhu. Internally, he's Krishna, externally in the mood of the devotee. He said, Govardhan Hill, internally is Krishna, and externally in the mood of the devotee, providing caves, water, mountain. He wants to also serve in that way. It's a very mysterious thing. And just a point. And so those devotees, though, they'll see differently. Yashoda, she's seeing this as a source of nourishment for her son. That, telling her, have the cows eat the grass there is so sweet, as it says, like hapaniya, says pani yasuya basakandara kandamulai. There's extra special sweet water there. Like we know in hapaniya, if you've ever had the coconut from the coconuts that are from hapaniya, they're extra sweet because the water is being infused. So she knows if the cows will eat that grass, then I'll make milk and then Krishna will be happy and he'll be with us. And she's seeing it that way. Brajagopis are eyeing caves. Cowherd boys are seeing pools and fountains. Everyone seeing according to their service necessity, not their projected selfishness. They're seeing it all on the basis of service necessity. And Madhura Rasa, believe it or not, is a type of service. I was surprised to hear Srila Guru Maharaj, when talking about Ram Lila, saying conjugal service is reserved for Sita Devi and Ram Lila. Said like that. That seva is hers. It's seva. It really, that's why it requires 180. We have to completely reconceive things. That can be seva? Yes, it can be seva. So, this Govardhan, once Jajavar Maharaj, was teasing Sagar Maharaj and myself. He used to visit Guru Maharaj for a couple months every year and like to do these like Siddhantic mind benders, you know. And he quoted some particular Purana when he said like making their offerings, right? Govardhan accepted all the offerings. He said, and one particular, I forget what it's called, the something Hari Bangsha something or other. And he said, there, says, yes, he accepted all the offerings, but some of these people were non-veg. Okay? It's just like I was sitting on a plane with a man once in India, and he goes, oh, you are taking the veg. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm a vegetarian. He goes, yes, I am also taking veg. And non-veg also. You know, I'm better than you. You only take veg. I take veg, but I take non-veg too, you know. Like, they never say me, right? They take non-veg. What is that, a loofah? You're eating loofahs, you know, like, for dinner?
That's right. You know, in one plane, they said, I asked for a non-smoking seat. They said, all of our seats are smoking or non-smoking, as you like.
As you like. How advanced is that? Right. But anyway, so he said, it says there, in this one book, that some of these offerings were non-veg. He said, this happened when he was preaching around India. Someone said, end up such and such, you know. And so he said to me in Sagar, what would you say? And we were actually dumbstruck. And then Sagar was sort of fumbling. And then Judge of Maharaj himself, who had a sense of humor, he said, Yat Kurosi, Yat Ashnasi. That's the famous verse that whatever you do, you know, do it as an offering to him. You know. But so that's that's a side issue, some esoteric thing. But still, he's accepting their offerings. But the point I wanted to address that you alluded to earlier, and this is what Guru Maharaj extracts from this, not only this, but this is one of the essential things. Deve Varsati Yagya Vipla Vipusa Rajvasha Varshani Lai. It's the concluding sloka that tells, it's sort of a recap, a summary of what Govardhan Lila is all about. And Guru Maharaj's interpretation of this is that we're surrounded by karmic circumstances that we've generated. And they do have a legitimate claim on you. It's not imagined. These things that are coming, imploding in our lives, they're real. We created them. What do we have to complain about? Like you said, a bad worksman quarrels with his stools. You know, you generated these foul-smelling circumstances you're being inundated with. You have nothing to complain to no one about. He said, but, and this is one of the most unusual segues to Parakya Rasa of all time, that he said, so, like the husband has the, in the Vedic system, the right over the wife, karmic reactions have their demand and their right to exercise that over all of us. He said, but just like the wife has the paramour, when that person makes their connection with Krishna conception, he said, they give the impression as though they're behaving karmically, dutifully to this world and all the obligations I have and all the karmic redresses that must be there. He said, but really in their hearts, they're wholly given over the Krishna conception. But now to segue to this, back to the Govardhan Indra Lila, this shows, he said, when you're going on in your own world, assessing what you think you should do according to this, that, and the other thing, then the irresistibly charming, sweet Krishna conception enters. In this case, in the form of a irresistibly cute boy with big talk, right? Some smart talking, what do they call that word? Precocious. A precocious youth who's extra beautiful. Then you get exposed to the Krishna conception, And you start letting go of all those other things that were so near and dear and you'd done for so long and been raised in this tradition, that tradition, whatever it was. And now you're like under Krishna's influence or sway. Then once that happens, as Guru Maharaj said, they're not going to have a parade for you in the street when you decide to become a devotee. But I told this someone recently, I said, unless you're Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, as his like gift to him before he left the world, threw a parade for him on Fifth Avenue in New York City, and he rode Jagannath's chariot down the street. That's the exception. But for everyone else, generally, when you become Krishna conscious and give your everything to Krishna, what happens? You get a medal for it? No. The whole world turns against you, and you start becoming inundated by karmic circumstances, family members, everybody's on your case because you're trying to become a devotee. They don't like you. You're now in a cult. What does Madhavendra Puri say in one place? You know, let the sharp moralists criticize me. Let people say I've lost my mind. Let others say I joined a cult. You're wasting your time. You have, you know, issues. You're in denial. You know, you have... Right, or it may rain very heavy, especially if you're in Northern California.
Hateful email.
Right. So many things. So now, they're all, you're being inundated, right? Metaphorically speaking. Then, that person, and then, as Madhavendra Puri says too, they may point out that, this is not funny. It's not humorous, actually. Madhavendra Puri points out, he said, and you can add to this list that I'm not Krishna conscious. I haven't, this whole thing I'm being accused of, I haven't even achieved. So I risked everything to pursue this Krishna consciousness that by my own admission, I don't have. So that makes it even more absurd. But Guru Maharaj said, if you can realize all of the above and then say, but I have no other shelter, right? I have nowhere else to go. Krishna is my alone, my exclusive shelter. He said, then just maybe there's a possibility that you might be a devotee.
That's what I mean.
And you might have a drop of devotion. Then, just to cap this off, for that person who then says, I have everything's against me now, I have nowhere else to turn to, then Krishna comes and gives them shelter with Govardhan. That's the message of that pastime. So. Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Anuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Govardhan Dan Ki Jai. Sri Govardhan Puja Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Govinda Kunda Ki Jai. And that's the last line of that says, Govindra, Indra Govan. So, Indra, this is how Krishna got the name Govinda. Before, I mean, technically speaking, you know, it's the story, the Leela. So when Indra means king. So Indra of heaven got challenged, and he challenged the cowherd boy. In the end, he concludes, he's Indra Gavan, the Indra, the king of the Gava, which means the cows. If you turn that around, Indra Gavan becomes Gava Indra, or Govindra, or Govinda. So he says, this boy will be known as Govinda. And then the Surabhi cow showers, you know, transcendental milk on him, and the end result is Govinda Kunda. Govinda Kunda Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Padjanardhan Maharaj Ki Jai, Parvat Maharaj Ki Jai, Sanyasi Brinda Ki Jai, Sri Pushta Krishna Prabhu Ki Jai, Seva Brinda Ki Jai, Samabeda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande. Someone can sing. I can't really sing right now. Someone else can sing it. Yeah, yeah.